All right. In practice for live.
Woohoo.
Yay.
Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics, episode, I think this is 34, hunting season, because I imagine that's where the plotline's going to go today. I could be wrong. I name these before the episode starts, and sometimes the name I've given it has been way off from the direction that the players decided we should go in. But I got a strong feeling about this. I've got a pretty good feeling that I know what's going to occur. There's going to be some really bad decisions. The party may or may not get split. And
we
something
don't split that often. Do we?
And something or someone will be set on fire.
That does happen.
Yes. Joining me this evening are a bunch of awesome people, including Chris. Welcome back.
Yay.
And Ellie and Io and Jen and Cindy. And Archbeth is already hanging out in chat, which is awesome. And I am going to just throw this out there for the party because, you know, Chris has missed a bunch of sessions, so we got to catch him up. What did we do last week?
I became a parent.
Recap, yes. I just want to appreciate that while Crash was reading down the list of names in the voice chat, there was that brief pause between Jen and Cindy, where he saw not a mimic in the list and wondered quickly which player that was before he realized it was himself.
No, it's clearly not a mimic. Whatever it is, it's not a mimic. You can just pass on through, or maybe have a seat on that large wooden chest over there. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's totally fine.
So, Zeely became a parent.
Yes.
Before that, I forget if this was last week or the week before. But we fought another dragon. The wrong dragon.
I think it was the week before.
Oh.
And it flew away with one of Gox's javelins in its nose.
Grommet, it's the wrong dragon.
Yep, then we found Cogbucket, mm-hmm. a cleric of Clark, god of sufficiently advanced technology. And we found a bunch of baby kobolds next to a dead kobold, which is now in Zeely's bag of holding, if I remember right.
I think so.
And then Cogbucket accidentally tried to bury us all with an earthquake because he didn't realize casting earthquake when you're inside a cave is a bad idea.
But everyone survived, including all the baby kobolds, which we brought
except
to...
Blue.
Well,
but Blue
yeah.
was already dead.
Right. Then we brought the baby kobolds with us to Fiddlepunch's tower.
Which is now occupied with dragonborn and kobolds.
Yes, kobolds are living underneath it in tunnels, and so we dropped off the babies there. And Zeely had to banish Gox to get all the babies off of him because they wouldn't let go.
Oh, that's right. Gox was a baby kobold jungle gym.
Jungle gym, mm-hmm. And there were, I think it was Fennec Sr. and blanking out on the name of the guy from Coomeridge.
Lord Idris.
Yeah, planning battle strategy for dragons, I think.
Well, dragons and the general operations on this continent in general. And we were decided to be the advance team because we're small enough we might go unnoticed, but we're also surprisingly able to hold our own in the likely event that we do get caught.
Yeah.
Well, there was that time or five where you defeated a very large dragon.
Yep.
It's happened. Could have been totally a fluke.
So yeah, that's where I remember leaving off, is deciding that we are going to try to get more info on the heart of the operation, which, if it's not in the giant mountain volcano thing, it's close to it from what we know so far.
Okay, well, it's the next morning, or rather next evening, because you are nocturnal. Daystar mm-hmm. Burn. There's this wonderful gif of Neil Gaiman in an interview where he's like, no, my people, they have indoors. They have darkness. And I am in this image and feel attacked. But also, it's fitting for kobolds. But in any mm-hmm. case, it is the following evening. And, of course, most of the bacon is gone already because Gox
of course.
Exists. Mm-hmm. And Gox, as you are finishing off the last of the bacon that an unseen servant has placed in front of you, because, you know, it's Daldane's dazzling dwelling. It's full of unseen mm-hmm. servants that do all the tasks. But apparently they haven't really cleaned up the laundry room yet. I guess they've decided, you know what, we're not touching that. A kobold did it, a kobold's going to fix it. Blue comes up and sits down next to you and says, oh, wow, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, I hear alive. It's weird in there. Gox is assuming she's alive. She's right there.
Well, it is a living kobold that when Gox looks over, Gox recognizes it as Blue.
Mm-hmm. Want some bacon?
I would love some bacon.
I push some towards her.
There's no more bacon.
Oh.
Not anymore. Get another. There is a tiny bit of bacon that is disappearing into Blue's mouth.
Oh, okay. So she's eating the bacon.
While she's eating, your friend with the wings resurrected me.
Zaylee bursts into the room, wings flaring out behind her. I am a master of the arcane arts! She is waving her arms around excitedly.
In case you were wondering if Zaylee would take these newfound level 17 powers with any degree of humility.
There you go.
Let me wrest this idea from you.
Zaylee has never taken anything ever with any degree of humility.
I can find the actual episode numbers where that statement is wrong, but still.
This is true.
She's very proud of herself today with good reason.
Well, someone figured out how to magically create components necessary for spells that bring people back to life.
Pretty impressive.
And there's more than one cleric that has been established to be in the vicinity. Marwise is one of them. Cogbucket's another, who can perform that duty appropriately. I will leave it up to you to decide if it was Marwise or Cogbucket. My assumption is it was probably Marwise.
I do have the spells prepared for it, provided she died relatively recently. But I was only missing the diamonds, so... If Zaylee came to me with diamonds and a corpse, I'd be like, okay, let's do this.
Zaylee did not come to anyone with diamonds or a corpse.
That's an out-of-context one. Diamonds and corpse.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate this.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So Blue finishes off the last of the bacon and says, that was great. Is there more?
I'm not sure, but there will be next time we go in here.
You've never seen an unseen servant shrug. For very obvious reasons, but imagine, if you will, that one just shrugged.
Yeah, I think I ate the rest. I didn't know you were going to be back, so I didn't, you know. How are you feeling, Blue?
Like I just spent the last 2 days in hell.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Because I actually did spend the last 2 days in hell. That was a thing. That occurred.
Gox carefully pats her on the shoulder in sympathy.
So who's your friend?
Which friend?
That one.
She's pointing
over your shoulder.
Okay, I look over my shoulder. What do I see?
Well, you see Zaylee, ready to accept praise and offerings.
Oh, that's Zaylee. She's really cool.
No, not Zaylee. We met. The other friend.
Huh? What other pointing friend?
Pointing at your shoulder again.
Pointing where?
At your shoulder again.
You're cutting out.
Pointing at your shoulder again.
At my shoulder?
Yeah.
I start looking at my shoulders. And
there's a raven sitting on your shoulder.
Is there a raven?
Yes.
Huh. I've seen this bird before.
Imagine, if you will, a raven face palming.
If I remember correctly, the last time this raven was on his shoulder, it started poking at him and he said, stop it. So this is Gox, you know? Where have I seen this before?
The raven blinks at you and just tilts its head.
I think I've confused it.
Gox, remember who we know who owns a raven?
Edgar Allan Poe?
The raven disappears and appears on Zaylee's shoulder.
Well, you didn't teleport last time I met you, Fox, but...
Wait, that's Fox? I thought Fox was a cat. I guess he's a raven.
This is so in character for Gox. It makes little sense.
Yeah.
Raven disappears and then appears next to Blue, where you see Sox sitting there.
Sox, you're back! This is great! Gux goes over and gives him a hug, but not one that's going to hurt him.
Blue is hiding behind Zeely at this point.
Sucks. I figured out how to bring people back from the dead.
I heard from your bursting into the room and screaming you've mastered the art of arcane power. Impressive. I've been here a while, by the way.
Well, how was your adventure?
I'm out of a few people that want to kill me, but other than that,
don't informative. Worry. You're just in time to help us murder an enormous red dragon.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Why do we always end up fighting dragons?
Because we personally made Tiamat angry.
This red dragon might be my great distant ancestor, according to the lore of the clan. My old clan, it's kind of muddled by this point. But everyone was pretty sure that the clans descended from the dragon somehow.
Right. Oh, okay.
And Blue's back. She's with us now.
I noticed.
Hi.
Hi.
You got very good at sneaking.
Yeah, it's kind of what I do.
If I look away from you and look back, it takes a while for me to realize you're in that chair.
It has its advantages when you're trying to get information and, you know, murder people if required.
Blue nods sagely.
Oh, Sox, we have baby kobolds. They're living under the tunnels.
There's I'm like... a mom now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I was back at the farm. I saw all the everything that happened there.
No, these are from our original clan, not the farm.
Oh.
Yeah, I saved the eggs.
She did. Wow. I think they're the last of our clan.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I was sent away with the eggs, but there was the idea that the rest of the clan might get murdered for me being able to escape with the eggs.
Mm. I should have never left. Could have protected them.
It wasn't your fault. You figured out how to be on a flying city.
Well, I didn't figure it out. It just kind of happened. I went looking for food because, you know, I'm always hungry.
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah. Well, I'm always hungry.
Blue just looks over at Sox.
I just kind of just put my hands up and I, you know, it happens. Can I?
Yeah, they just share this moment where if there was any doubt as to whether or not this was the actual Gox, this has been allayed.
But well, if I would have stayed, the clan might be okay, or more of them might have survived.
Or if you had stayed, you might have died.
I'm going to say died because it was two dragons that basically got our clan, and most of us died then.
You've saved a lot of lives by being with us, including your own multiple times.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I just wonder what would have happened if I hadn't left, you know?
I wonder what would have happened if I hadn't left, too. And the answer is, I wouldn't be a world-renowned performing artist.
Gox nods. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I hadn't followed you onto the airship, I probably wouldn't have PTSD.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Damn worm creature nightmare.
Yeah, speaking of saving lives and not terrifying descriptions of things that I don't want to hear because I will have nightmares, I'm going to go take care of those baby kobolds. They probably need a hand taking care of 19 baby kobolds. Go through this
door. Kroba, hello from me.
I do have drawings of the creepy worm creature if you want to see them.
No, that's okay. Maybe later if I'm really, really drunk. But I think I gave up alcohol just now. So that's probably not going to happen. I got to go. Goodbye.
You're missing out. I'm a good artist.
See ya. Bye. I'm leaving.
Have fun with the baby kobolds.
I'm through the door. I'm waving goodbye through the door. Bye. Bye. And close the door.
What the hell did I miss?
Well, you know we're on a different continent now, right?
Well, yes, I'm here.
Because that was a surprise to the rest of us. That this
Fox used their incredibly high movement speed to get here overnight.
The Mountain Four murdered most of our clan.
Yeah, the farm is decimated.
Ari filled me in on some of the details.
I think decimated. But, I heard somebody use that word, but I don't know if it's right. It's gone.
But don't worry, because it will come back when we're done with this.
When Zili's work is finished, she's coming back for the clan.
Yeah. Well, isn't the clan here now, though?
All the survivors are.
Survivors were, yeah.
Yes, all the survivors of the Shipclaw clan, all the survivors of the Rotfoot clan, and now all the survivors of the original clan that Gox and Sox are from. Granted, some of them are older than others.
So some of them are older than 11 days.
The babies, I think it's established, they are not yet 48 hours old yet. Well, maybe 48 hours. They're not 72 hours old yet. Picture, if you will, baby alligators.
I'm not talking about where the survivors are. I'm saying that when we've dealt with the Mountain Core and with this whole wretched invasion, I don't care how long it takes to bring them all back, but I will. No one gets to take my clan from me again. Well, anyway, now that that's settled.
Did anyone just pee a little?
There's a reason I stand behind Zili and Gox when the battle starts.
So, what are we doing today?
Same thing you do every day. Try to save the world.
Yeah.
From dragons.
I vote we go towards the big mountain.
Yep, sounds like a plan to me.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to assume at this point you all heroically go through the door. There's a freeze frame. Then you cut to commercial. And then there's a silhouette. And who's that kobold? But it's some random kobold that you've never seen before from a clan that you barely mentioned. And then we go after the commercial break. We come back. You wonder why you were in a freeze frame for 5 minutes. Decide it's best not to ask. And Fiddle Punch is happy to see you, and he says, "Right, my understanding is you were going to be heading north."
Gox looks at Zili like, "Is that where we're going?"
Towards the center of the continent.
The mountain to the north.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. So you already had experience alpha testing my trebuchet delivery system. Would you be interested in doing so again?
Zili's still the only one of us with wings.
That's exactly who I was referring to.
I have wings.
Ah, are right. things That's some right. working for the bug again?
I...
You know, the little portal bug.
Oh, yeah, I've got plenty of those. It's just that our arcane circle is a magic-based one. It's going to take another 5 or 6 days for that one to be fixed to a permanent level.
Oh.
So we're using the mechanical one for the most part. But as luck would have it, that's the kind the beetles make first.
So we can do the throwing and the setting up on the other end?
Oh, I assumed it was either that or you'd have to walk through enemy terrain for who knows how many days, encountering a new random encounter each day, which would make the whole campaign drawn out for another few months. I mean, the DM's all for that, but I'm breaking the fourth wall like crazy.
As Fiddle Punches want to do.
Yeah.
Wait, what now?
Right, let's avoid drawing this out for more days and or month.
Yes.
All right. Okay, so when you go to the room that has a trebuchet in it, it looks different. There's various circuits and wires that have been stuck to it. Apparently, the trebuchet has gone through a retrofitting.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I have increased the output by, well, you're probably not familiar with the units of measure that I'd be using for that. A lot. I have increased it by a lot.
Does that mean it goes farther?
Yes.
Zili, you up for this?
Of course I am.
Okay, you might want these. And he hands you two little bits that look like some type of spongy material.
Where do I put them?
A good question. They are earplugs. You might actually break the sound barrier.
I want to do it too.
It sounds fun.
I'm told it's incredibly terrifying.
Let's do it then. Seeley puts in the earplugs.
I'm pretty sure terrifying is, in fact, based on everything I've been told, Zeely for fun.
Okay. Can this trebuchet send two people at the one time?
It can, but there's no guarantee that you'll both go in the exact same direction. Matter of fact, you'll probably veer off course by several days' travel.
So one at a time, then?
Yes, although I'm not entirely sure I can aim the exact same way both times. There's a lot of crosswinds and stuff. This is why I'm specifically sending someone with wings, as opposed to someone who just, you know, had the ability to cast Featherfall.
I have wings.
The ones on your bird don't count.
Sure you do, Sox. Sure you do.
I open up my...
Okay.
So when did you get wings?
How did you get wings?
It's my cloak.
It's his cloak.
They turn into wings.
Oh, right. Oh, your cloak. Right.
Okay.
All right, having encountered empirical evidence to the contrary, I retract my statement, or rather, I reinforce the statement saying, yes, you do have wings.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Well, basically, I need to send someone who can do a controlled descent as opposed to a free fall descent. If you would rather go, that can work.
No, it's fine. It's all good. Zeely sounds like she's excited.
Cut to Zeely. Sitting in the swing for the trebuchet, not acting like she's totally giddy for this experience, but totally giddy for this experience.
Okay, fine. If you're going to make me feel guilty, it's yours. And Zeely climbs down.
Flies over. Hug Zeely.
Earplugs.
Earplugs in.
All right. So this is usually the part where I ask you to make sure that all limbs are safely contained inside the swing until the latch releases. And have you signed all the medical waivers?
Push the button.
Oh, all right.
Good luck, Sox.
Give me a dexterity save. I'm aware that I'm asking the rogue monk to give me a dexterity save.
Yeah.
Which is probably why it's a much better idea to have Sox riding the trebuchet.
30.
I'm betting that wasn't even a nat 20.
It was not.
What was the actual number?
19 plus 11.
Okay. All right.
So it was close, still, but it wasn't.
It was still pretty darn high. Okay. So, point of fact, you do in fact break the sound barrier.
Nice.
You take 5 points of bludgeoning damage. You hit a sparrow at Mach 1.
Just because... where is it? What's it called? I haven't played a rogue in so long. Uncanny dodge. I reduce it in half.
So, picture if you will, Sox flying through the air, not unlike Iron Man, but without the rockets coming out from the feet, because that would be incredibly weird. Sox is not Zeely, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, that would be me.
Although he does have ways to produce radiant damage.
Do now, yeah.
Yeah. But you've got your arms against your sides because that's more aerodynamic. You're looking forward. Your teeth are bared and your lips are flapping in the wind.
God, imagine a Superman punch from this speed.
And then suddenly there's a... And you're in the same pose, but there's little bits of feathers on your shoulders and face. And is that a wishbone? That could be a wishbone.
Nice.
And that is a very, very large mountain ahead of you. Matter of fact, you've never seen a mountain that size before. It's almost as if that mountain was formed when whatever formed the giant hole in the middle of the continent that you're used to came through the other side of the planet. Because that's exactly what happened. Now, your momentum is not enough to take you all the way to it. For a brief period of time, you think that it will, but it's just because you are not used to the massive scale of this thing in front of you. It is quite obvious that you are going many, many days' journey, if not weeks' journey right now. And your speed starts to slow. You start to slowly angle down a bit more. You should probably deploy your cloak soon-ish. Like, maybe within the next 15 seconds or so.
Prop it out after 10.
Okay. Give me a dexterity check.
15.
All right. It is not the most gracious of descents, but you are capable of doing it. And as you do lazy loop-de-loops and spirals heading down, you see there is a wooded area. There is what appears to be a lake. And maybe a day's walk from here. There appears to be what looks like a small village from here, but it's hard to see. The snowy weather is kind of obscuring it a bit.
Okay. Did anyone actually tell me what I was supposed to do when I got here?
Meanwhile, back in the tower, Fiddle Punch goes, "All right, so we just need Sox to use these beetles to create the magical..." Oh.
If you're not here for these beetles...
I was gonna give them to Zeely.
Did you not give him the beetles?
He quick hands them to Zeely and says, "You still have your earplugs, get on."
Oh, no.
He told me to press the button, I pressed the button. In my defense, he told me to press the button. You tell him that.
In Sox's defense, he was so excited.
Well, it is probably the most terrifying and exhilarating experience Sox has ever had.
I mean, I could try to teleport them, but blind teleporting things doesn't work very well.
The sooner I send you, the more likely the air currents are going to be the same as when I launched him.
Send me.
He shoves this bag of beetles into your hands and says, "All right, 3, 2, 1, go." Give me a dexterity save.
Okay.
30-20.
Okay. Well, that's a coincidence. You also take 5 points of damage from hitting the shrapnel of an ex-bird.
Oh, what the heck?
It's probably the same bird.
Zeely doesn't know he hit a bird.
Zeely just knows that she hit a bird. Give me a dexterity check.
13.
All right. You do not make it look as good as Sox did. But considering that one of you is dex-based and the other one isn't, I'm not too shocked by this. So, Sox,
mm-hmm.
We were discussing earlier, you have a passive perception of 25.
Yes.
Okay. As you are gracefully, you know, doing your aerial descent, you see a red blur coming in your general direction.
He just thinks in his head, "Oh, they must have realized they forgot to actually tell me what to do."
The red blur is wobbling a bit.
It's wobbling as it looks like things are going to
deploy emergency extra wings.
I was wondering when this would come up. Okay, so here's the deal. Zeely, from a blessing of Bahamut, acquired platinum wings, which are permanent. Zeely is also a draconic heritage sorcerer, which at a certain level, that type of sorcerer gets the ability to make wings pop out temporarily.
So Zeely is now a butterfly?
Sorry, what did you say?
Seraph or butterfly, you take your pick. Arkbeth says Zeely is a dragonfly. Which, congratulations, you still have inspiration, so I can't give you more, but that's worth it. Yes, Zeely is a dragonfly. You gave your inspiration to... Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. So now you do... For some reason, I couldn't remember that you spent the inspiration or not, but never mind. Okay, so you have inspiration. Fantastic. So emergency wings are deployed. I will allow you to make another dexterity check.
Six. That's not worse. So good.
Okay. So from your position, Sox, you have seen many stones get skipped across a body of water. You haven't ever seen a Zili get skipped across a body of water.
And typically the stones don't say, ow, 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 ow.
I will leave it up to Zili as to how Z reacts to the situation.
Say it! Ah! Draw! She is swearing in Draconic.
In character.
Ow,
all right.
Ow.
Okay. And you skid to a stop along the far bank, which, by the way, Sox, you're still airborne, so if you want to coast your way over to the impact crater, that's not going to be an issue for you. You still have the lift to do that.
I will, of course.
Okay. So, Zili, you've skidded to a stop in very shallow water. You're right there at the bank. You could stand up and maybe be knee-deep, ankle-deep. It depends on exactly where you're standing and how deep the mud is. And your first sensation is that you are very cold. But also that you did not, in fact, let go of the bag of beetles.
Aha! It's okay. I'm an Arctic kobold when I want to be. I'm okay. And Zili starts sort of vaguely trying to get up. She's
at
not
this point,
doing
Sox,
a great job.
Okay. I'm assuming y'all figured out that you didn't actually tell me what I was supposed to do.
Beetles!
Caterpillars!
So much.
Zili sticks a hand into the bag and takes out a beetle and waves it around.
Oh, those beetles, right.
The beetle waves its little legs and antennae helplessly.
Zili picks herself up. She has more wings than last time Sox saw her.
You're a dragonfly?
One pair is platinum, the other pair is Zili's normal skin tone, which I believe is red.
Red.
Multicolored.
Yeah. Rainbow dragonfly.
Impressive.
Oh, right. Yeah, I can do that. I just don't usually because it... I don't think it helped. Anyway.
It allowed you to make a second roll.
Yes, but the other roll was a six. So, Zili...
I took the higher of the two. You didn't take damage from your descent.
True. Zili may be under the impression that it made things worse. Mostly because it did not allow her to regain control of her descent.
Okay, so the rest of the kobolds, as we switch over, are in the room that allows for mechanical teleportation. And Fiddle Punch is there with his goggles on, looking at the machinery, and saying, okay, they should have landed by now. So any moment, this should activate. Any moment now.
Zili starts tromping towards a less muddy spot to put the beetle down. She doesn't know what would happen if it got muddy.
And Sox sends up Fox to just kind of scout the area.
Okay. Give me a perception check. I'm assuming you're looking through Fox's eyes.
Yes, but I still have to use Fox's perception. Natural 20.
Okay.
23 total.
Fascinating. All right, noted. You see snow.
A lot of snow.
And where you are, it doesn't seem to be that deep, but near, closer to where the trees are, there's some banks that, or maybe it's just hills, but it looks like it gets deeper in some places.
Okay. I bring the bird back.
Zili, you have found a not muddy spot.
Excellent. Zili puts the beetle down and starts prestidigitating herself to be less muddy.
Okay. The beetle starts moving around by itself and sort of just makes like one half of an arcane rune.
One half as in the half that produces more kobolds from it, or one half as in one half of the half that produces more kobolds from it.
So imagine, if you will, a worksheet that I may or may not have given my students, where they had to complete both sides in order to earn credit. And imagine, if you will, the beetle is the student that decided to write half of their name before they gave up.
Zili peers at the beetle and tries to figure out if she can tell what went wrong.
Give
me
an insight
check. She has no arcana proficiency. Oh, good insight. Wait, my insight is worse than my arcana.
Uh-oh.
I am here for this content.
4.
Yeah, you have no idea why this beetle isn't doing all this work.
Fine. It can probably only do one thing at once, so,
The DM is biting his tongue so hard right now. What was that?
Zili picks the beetle back up.
It waves its little antenna at you.
Zili takes out another beetle and sets it down somewhere else.
The two beetles work together and make one arcane rune.
What's wrong with you things? Are you too cold? Prestidigitation, warm up.
Sox, give me an insight check.
Okay. Not great. 14.
Okay, so there's a certain word that's been used to describe the bag, and it was plural. It is a bag of beetles. Zili has used 2.
How many beetles are in that?
I don't know.
Any moment now.
I mean,
I hope you all went to the bathroom before this started.
I can't. I mean, it would be bad if they made more than one out, but wouldn't it?
Tip it out.
Fine. Zili tips out the bag.
All the beetles suddenly become, imagine if you will, synchronized swimmers. But instead of swimmers in a pool, it's several hundred beetles under a light dusting of snow.
Oh, I'm kind of disappointed. I was really hoping you were going to say all the beetles become a Voltron beetle.
That's what I'm really
And I'll form the horror show. All right, so there is a strong sense of electricity in the air. If you had body hair, but you're kobold, so you don't. But if you had body hair, it'd be standing on end at this point. You can smell the ionization. And kazap! You are now surrounded by the rest of the party.
Oh, it's good. It worked.
Wow, that was fast. Why is it so cold here?
Snow. It's cold.
We went north.
Oh, cold's not good.
So who's got the other ring?
Hi.
I had one, but it's not on my character sheet.
What ring?
Ring of warmth, which yeah. I am not attuned to, so I should probably do.
Maybe you forgot to put it on your character sheet?
It's possible.
I don't remember Deldane giving that to anyone.
No, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I don't think she gave it to anyone.
Do they need to be attuned to?
They are an attunement item.
Then it's. Well, I'm out of attunement slots. So.
Yeah, I'm probably going to take off my wings now that I don't think we need them and attune to that, but I'll take it. How long's a short rest?
An hour?
A short rest is usually an hour. Some DMs speed up the game by saying it's 15 minutes, but really it's an hour.
Well, if I've still got mine, I'll give it to whoever wants it.
You still have yours.
Okay.
Don't Everyone who doesn't it, have a ring on, give me a constitution save.
Oh, no.
Which I think is all of us, because none of us would be attuned to.
I've rolled a 10, and constitution is +2.
Zili, who just went through a frozen lake, is like, ah, yeah, smell that good, crisp, clean air.
Oh,
I
no.
love the outdoors.
Oh, no.
I rolled a 5.
Nat 1.
We have a nat 1 for the cleric. Okay, everyone who got less than 15 is shivering.
Zili, maybe set something on fire?
Oh, yes. Zili is going to basically start trying to clear an area of snow and wet and such with, and then she will set said area on fire.
Okay. You have set the area on fire. The DM will be a gracious DM and not say that you've started a sanctimonious approved forest fire. Because he would approve. But imagine, if you will, there's a pile of sticks and logs and stuff that is now burning in a cheery fire.
I'm walking closer to the fire.
Me too.
Considering that Gox is resistant to fire damage, Gox could probably...
He's fine, yeah. He could stand like right there and be like, all right, yeah. This is better.
Gox, you seem to be on fire. Yeah, I'm on the fire. That's how it works.
It's warm here.
And while we're warming up, I'm going to inspiring leader to give everybody 20 temporary hit points.
How many?
Yeah.
20.
20, okay.
There's enough stuff burning that you can take a short rest if you wish and attune yourself to things that might need attuning.
Who would be more beneficial to have this ring?
I have no constitution at all, but
yeah,
I would have to lose one of my attunements, which...
I think we're all going to have to lose an attunement at this point, regardless of who it takes.
High-level character problems.
Yeah.
In that case, could anyone make better use of my Mace of Disruption? Because I haven't used that thing at all.
I don't know if it's better than the Battle Axe plus one I'm using.
The Battle Axe will do more damage for most
things. That's what I was thinking.
The Mace has very specific uses that are very useful, but most times it's going to be the Battle Axe.
Yeah.
Might as well bag of holding it for now.
All right. In that case, I'll take the ring and attune myself. What exactly is it called? Ring of Warmth?
Yes, I think.
Yes, Ring of Warmth. So I've given you the Ring of Warmth.
Okay, well, while you're taking the short rest, we've been playing for just about an hour. You want to take five in real life?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, I'm going to press some buttons and we'll be right back. We're back.
Woo-hoo.
And Kobold, it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had your long rest. Who's attuned now?
Short rest.
It was short rest. Right. Yeah.
I dropped my attunement to the glowing mace and picked up an attunement to Ring of Warmth because Marwise's constitution is zero. She might very well become an icicle without some help.
Right.
Kobold pop. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that it's Sox that has the other one still?
No, I get tomorrow.
Okay, so who's got the other one then?
I think Dalden.
I think I still do.
Okay. That makes sense. Considering Gox has a high constitution as a barbarian, and Zeely has a constitution because she intends to be invincible. And I'm not sure the cold would be able to find Sox.
Sox's constitution is pretty garbage, but I feel like it's better that the cleric has it.
Wait, it's Ring of Warmth?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, okay.
Did you find it on your character sheet?
No, I added it to my character sheet and it says it doesn't require an attunement.
Mine does.
Weird.
Odd.
Is it a class-based thing that it doesn't have to attune or something?
Maybe, I don't know.
That's a good question. So
I'll look it up and see if bards can attune more items.
No, it's saying it doesn't need it.
That's the weirdest thing.
It says it needs it on my character sheet.
Yeah, a Ring of Warmth. It's a green magical item. Has an A next to it and a checkbox to attune. But if I go to Daldane's character sheet...
Well, I'm going to detune from the spell diamond. Okay, there, it will allow me to attune to it.
Yeah, but the Ring of Warmth that you selected doesn't have an A next to it saying, hey... You need to attune to this.
Yeah, weird.
That is weird.
Hmm. Out of curiosity, what bard college is Staldane?
Lore. I think it's the default one.
Yeah, I can't find anything that gives bards.
And Arshbeth in chat says Cole-burr.
Cold bold.
Okay. So while you're taking your long rest away from the lake, with a passive perception of 25, I'm just going to say that Sox hears...
Do that again?
A frog?
Are frogs cold-blooded?
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Uh-oh.
That's out of character, by the way.
Okay.
If Sox asked that question out loud, I'd say, I don't think frogs can survive cold enough weather for it to snow.
But well, can better frogs?
Which I don't think Sox ever saw.
Neither has Seeley. That's out of character.
Yeah, we haven't seen it.
I hear a frog.
I'm going to look to see if I can see it. What is that check? Is it investigation?
At first, I would say perception.
Okay.
I'm going to try to look.
Rolled a 16, and perception is a plus 6.
Oh, wow, nat 20.
With a nat 20, you find a snow-covered lump.
I poke the lump.
It's squishy and goes...
I start removing the snow.
You is see, it a frog? Purplish translucent skin.
It's purple. I don't know if it's a frog. It's certainly purple.
Congratulations, Zeely, you've discovered a grape.
Can frogs be purple?
I don't know.
Grapes don't go...
Well, I'm going to walk over to where Zeely is and see what she sees. I'm going to help dust snow off of whatever this creature is.
Okay. It appears to be a creature. It's got four long spindly legs. It is moving very slowly and lethargically. It does not look to be doing very well at all.
I cast prestidigitation to warm it up some. I know that won't do that much, but every little bit helps, right?
It snuggles up to you.
Well, it appears friendly.
You got a pet.
What is it? Is it trying to talk to us?
I doubt it.
Prestidigitation is the best I can do to warm it up without setting it on fire.
And I don't think that might be too warm. Yeah.
It starts to move away from Zeely towards the lake.
Oh, water! Were you saying water? I use my decanter of endless water to pour some water on it.
It shivers.
Oh, that didn't work.
It continues to move towards the lake.
I guess it wants to go in the lake.
I follow.
If it's anything like a frog, that's where it lives, so...
And blow a spell slot and cast Comprehend Languages.
It says Ribbit.
That was the risk I was taking.
It was a calculated risk. It goes up to a muddy lump and starts pawing at it.
Oh, is that another one? Interesting.
It nuzzles the lump. The lump does not move.
All right, well, let's free this one. Zeely, I assume you can keep using prestidigitation to try and warm it up?
Yes, prestidigitation. Mold earth.
Okay, you have freed what appears to be a somewhat catatonic better frog.
Press the digitation. Why are you up here if it's too cold for you? Who put you here? Ugh.
It is an effort to make a wrong croak because these things are different.
Are there more of them that need to be helped? I don't understand that.
That's okay.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, with Comprehend Languages, Daldane still does not understand it. So imagine, if you will, your cat just coming up to you, assuming you have a cat, and looking at you intentively and just meowing and then walking away.
Can anyone speak to animals?
I can't anymore.
On the other side of the world, Kendrick is like, "This is my time to shine. Send me in, coach." Oh.
Oh, I should probably update him to 17.
Here.
What size are they?
Well, this wouldn't
what
be
size
the case
class
for
are
someone
they?
Of medium size, but you're fairly certain that you'd be able to ride one of these.
Zeely pulls out some of the rations in her bag of holding and breaks off a piece and holds it up. Here, do you eat this? Do you eat this? Here, frog. Frog thingies. Remember when I called that thing a worst bird?
Yeah.
This is like the opposite of a worst bird, but for frogs.
All
right.
I love them. They're so tall.
I am going to investigate and see if there are any more of these lumps lying around.
Okay. Give me an investigation check.
Yes, sir.
And their eyes are so shiny.
Oh, that's an 18.
She rolled a 2, by the way. And that's an 18.
Wow.
Yeah, my passive investigation is 26.
I shared
and
the same
link. And you moan at me about my passive 25.
I shared the same link in chat, and Arkbeth is going, so cute! This is art that I can't share very because cute. I'm sharing the source material. The Better Frogs were created by Danny Hartel, who is Danny Hartel on Twitter. And she's done work for Wizards of the Coast in the past. She is cosplayed for official Wizards of the Coast events. She used to have a Twitch stream called Craft Tags, where she made cosplay and art items. Really cool. But nice. One day she just decided she was going to make better frogs.
And we love them.
Yes, we do. So with an 18, you find about 12 of them. Six of them seem to be salvageable.
Okay.
I'll go help dig them out.
Yeah, me too.
One of them is maybe about 3/4 the size of the rest.
Oh. Is this a baby one?
It's possible. I have not seen these things before. I don't know.
It's adorable. I love them.
Is there a flat vertical surface anywhere nearby? A flat-ish vertical surface anywhere nearby?
There's a lake.
Vertical.
There's trees off in the distance.
Okay.
The giant mountain in the middle of the continent feels like it's right there, but it's still probably maybe even a week away. Not as Azili is shot out of a trebuchet, but maybe as Azili walks.
Okay.
They have understood that if they cuddle up next to Zili, she casts prestidigitation and they feel warmer. So they keep bumping.
They're all surrounding Zili.
Yes.
So Zili's just in a pile of better frogs.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
More or less.
Hey, Zils, do me a favor.
Yes?
Can you mold me an earthen wall about 10 feet tall and 5 feet wide?
Daldane's like, I spent one spell slot. Let's take a long rest.
More like Liam's tiny hut only accepts 9 creatures.
6 are salvageable. We found 2 more. We could put all the frogs away.
Hang on a sec. So Marwise and I have the rings, right?
Yes.
Okay, I have a better idea.
For better frogs.
Yes. So, Gox, Sox, Zili don't have rings.
Right.
Correct.
I don't need one.
Okay. Y'all get all the frogs near the campfire.
All right.
Okay.
Come
just
on.
Just have Zili walk there. I think they're going to follow her.
They're so good and shiny.
They're really cute.
And in the worst possible environment for them to be.
Yeah.
How did they get here?
I don't know. I don't understand.
When everybody's arrayed around the campfire,
mm-hmm.
I am going to cast Liaman's Tiny Hut and immediately leave it.
Then it immediately disappears.
Wait. Nope. Liaman's Tiny Hut. Actually, no, hold on.
Liaman's.
I'm thinking of Daldane's Dazzling Dwelling. That's
she needs to stay on that. Yeah.
All the spell ends if I leave its area.
Yep.
Shoot.
Oh.
All right. In that case, yeah, let's do the Dazzling Dwelling.
Look, I appreciate your faith in my mold earth, but I'm not sure I can do that if we're above ground. I mean, the wall.
Can you control water?
I can control water. I don't.
What is snow?
I didn't know that it counted with shape water.
Give me an arcana check.
All right.
All right, that's a skill I have.
17.
Okay, so imagine, if you will, Avatar The Last Airbender, when Toph makes the realization that metal is just bits of rock and becomes the first metal bender.
Oh, I can make an ice wall!
What has the DM done? The DM may regret this choice.
Excellent! Shape water!
You have a vertical surface made of compacted snow. Yes, Cindy, exactly.
And I will go ahead and cast the door to the mansion on the vertical surface of the compacted snow. Go ahead and hustle everybody inside, including the better frogs.
All right.
And then, while the better frogs are recuperating inside the air-conditioned amenities of the Dazzling Dwelling...
I would say that in this particular climate, it's more like you have central heating.
Yeah, so what I meant was climate-controlled.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Let's go exploring. while the better frogs recuperate.
Did they need water too? Or are they going to be okay in there like that?
I'll direct some of the unseen servants to... Yeah, I'll make it so it has a pool. Haha.
Okay.
You're going to come back and find out the unseen servants have been waiting on the better frog's hand and foot. One of them's getting a manapedi.
Yeah.
The other one's got a face mask on. Makes it even more horrifying and adorable at the same time, which is the nature. The rest of them are just sitting around in bathrobes with a towel on top of their heads. For no reason whatsoever. They have no hair, but never mind.
All right, so that's there for 24 hours.
By the way, Arkbeth is suggesting that the baby better frog is the mount for the baby kobolds.
Oh.
That works. We'll have to fling it back.
Imagine, if you will, the giant elephants from Lord of the Rings, but a better frog covered in tiny alligators.
All right.
DM just had a chill go down his spine.
Let's go find some stuff out.
Okay.
Okay, so long as you're back within 24 hours.
Yep. And even if we're not back within 24 hours, all that's going to happen is they'll get expelled and they're back in the same situation they were before.
Which means they'll probably freeze to death.
We should figure out how they got here.
Yeah.
Who brings a bunch of better frogs into the middle of the freezing wilderness and lets them go?
I don't know.
I'll grab a handful of bacon for Gox before we go.
Thanks.
You're implying that Gox didn't already grab it.
He'll accept more.
If the lake or river or whatever comes from someplace warmer, it's possible they might have gotten swept up in a current, or like maybe a beaver dam had burst and they got swept away until they got out here. I'm not sure, just my first idea.
So another tweet is being passed around. A video of baby crocodiles. And I will share this in Mixer chat as well. They sound like someone's playing Galaga.
Mm-hmm.
Do the better frogs seem like they've been taken care of at some point recently? Do they seem like escaped pets or mounts?
Give me an animal handling check.
Where's Bryn when we need her?
I'm actually not too bad at that, since I'm wisdom based, so I have 16. A high wisdom score.
There you go.
Well, as Zili examines them, she doesn't see anything that shows that they have like a collar or anything, or no one's tried to break them in and put a saddle on them. And a few of them look like they had injuries that healed over time, but just on their own, as opposed to someone took care of them. So it's quite possible that they're entirely wild.
My worst... Okay, I admit that I'm a skill monkey, but my worst untrained, unproficient skill right now is +5. Zili, how bad is your wisdom?
Zili has a wisdom score of 12 for a +1.
Salk has a better score.
She's just
have the same wisdom score that I do.
Proficient. She's not proficient in that.
To counteract this, what's Zili's charisma and constitution?
Yeah. Zili's charisma and constitution are awesome.
Plus, you get to add half your proficiency bonus to
it. Oh, right. That's right, because of Jack of all trades. Okay. All right, yeah. Like I said, skill monkey.
That's why I love bards.
For the record, charisma of 20, constitution 19.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Wow.
The spellcaster is like, I am tank.
You get a higher constitution than Gox.
If I go into an anti-magic area, problems. But I'm a sorcerer, I don't want to go there anyway.
True.
Zili is basically that one raid boss from World of Warcraft. Break yourselves upon my body. Aha, you
I did that one earlier. I hate that boss.
I hate that boss too, but never mind about that. Actually, Zili would not be doing that, because you'd have to actually hit Zili first, and that's not necessarily a thing. Why is Zili clipping through the walls?
Let's go explore.
She forgot to turn off her cloak. again.
Okay, so a bunch of kobolds are marching through the woods. Yes, Cindy, that is exactly what I was thinking of. Thank you for that, Jeff. So you can head in a variety of directions. You can head towards the forest. You can head towards where Sock saw a town off in the distance. You could head towards the giant mountain thing.
I want to see what's in the town.
You could go swimming in the lake.
Nah.
Yeah, assuming Sock shared the information of the town, that's probably a good first stop.
Yeah. Sock shared.
There's stuff that Sock hasn't shared, like what happened to all that gold in episode 2. Something like that.
Oh, I mean, the gold that he robbed from his fellow party members? Yeah.
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 I love how you assumed that you gave some to Gox, but you never actually told me you gave some to Gox. But never mind about that. Okay, so you head off towards the town. It's not too far away, really. It seemed like it was further because there was atmospheric perspective going on. There was a lot of fog and snow in the air.
But you're able to make good time. As opposed to what happened on the ground, which was a lot of frog and snow.
Yeah, there was frog shrouded in the fog next to the bog.
We hadn't gone there yet, so the map hadn't really been revealed.
Yeah. The hexes are loading in slowly. There's a few missing chunks, but if you reload, that should be fine.
Above your head, it says, you have discovered whatever the name of this town is.
But you will not immediately ding as you discover a new area. I'm not doing that. Suddenly, you're all level 18. Wah! No. No, we're not doing that.
Crash, did I show you the screen grab I got from one of the original D&D manuals that talked about how if a rogue character steals all the treasure and then sneaks out of the dungeon, leaving the rest of the party to face the bad guys, they shouldn't get all the experience from the treasure they collected?
This is why I don't do evil campaigns. Also because I like nice long campaigns, and evil campaigns don't go long.
Yeah.
They go very, very short. It's kind of a last kobold standing type thing.
Mazir isn't evil. Mazir just really likes having money.
I like the thinking, and this is a total tangent, but I love the thinking that you had in Discord. I want to say it was yesterday, where you're getting a magical item, and you're like, well, I could get the magical item, or I could get money. Money is nice, but oh wait, if I got Gloves of Thieving, I could just get money.
Gloves of Thieving?
Socks ears perk up.
Socks the Kobold grows ears and they perk up. Everyone is horrified.
I confess that Mazir has taken some inspiration from Socks.
I confess that the DM has just horrified himself by picturing a kobold with ears. This is wrong. No. And the image in my head is very, very human ears.
Oh, that
won't
work. But
disproportionately large. Imagine Ross Perot as a kobold.
Well, now the next time one of the kobolds says, I'm all ears, you'll know what to imagine.
You will lose inspiration. I will give you inspiration in order to take it from you if you don't already have it. But moving on. Okay, so you're heading towards the town. And as you approach, you see no lights on at all. With your dark vision and the fact that it's a starry night and there's a dusting of snow on the ground, you can see pretty well. But there's no sign that anyone has a cooking fire or candle or anything else going.
If this place is full of undead too.
My first thought was more house-sized mimic.
Oh no.
I'm not going to keep throwing the same monsters at you over and over again. Give me some variety.
Where did the people go?
I'm sorry, you say this. You threw a green dragon at us, like arc one, and then the same green dragon for the end of the arc.
Yeah.
True,
yeah.
But by the time I threw it at you at the end of the arc, you didn't have gods just giving you bonuses, and the green dragon itself was a god.
Okay, so, town.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be that nobody's home. It may just be that they're all asleep.
Well, it could be.
But also, I'm pretty sure it's midday.
Well, no, you've been traveling at night.
Oh, right.
I'm pretty sure it's cold.
So it's
weird that nobody would have a fire.
Well, but if they had fire, if they had a central hearth, then we might not necessarily see that from the window. Let's go investigate.
Do we see any smoke coming from any chimneys?
You do not.
That's a fair cop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this may be an abandoned town, or it might be town mimics.
Or full of undead.
Yeah.
Turns out the snow is a mimic.
We've seen both of those things before.
Cold resistance.
Let's stick together and be on our guard. Don't anybody split off.
It turns out all the kobolds are mimics. They've been playing the long game. And they fool even themselves.
Really tempted for Sox to click his boots stealth and split off.
I know. You just
so
got
tempted.
Well, it is the one thing rogues are... It is one of the things rogues are good at, just quick scouting mission before the entire party goes in.
It's true.
With your movement speed, you could probably get to the town and back before they cover me down at all.
I have 50-foot movement speed, and if I click my heels together, that's 100-foot per 6 seconds.
Now, I wouldn't say
not
that...
Not including actions and bonus actions.
I wouldn't say it'd be totally undetectable, because there would be a large cloud of snow billowing up a la Looney Tunes as you broke the speed limit for a residential area.
Do you want me to do a quick scout around?
A quick short one should be good. Anyone else think differently?
No, he's good at that.
No one is objecting. I will do a quick scout around.
Okay.
So I'll start up.
Okay, give me a stealth check. It's like asking Ari for a perception check or an arcana check.
That is a 27.
Okay, I need to look something up.
It was a bad roll.
27's a bad roll.
Yeah,
it was a 10.
That is
that's a perfectly average roll.
That is a bad roll for Sox when it's still.
By statistics, I think you can say it's an exactly average roll.
Okay, so you're pretty certain that no one's detecting you, although you're kicking yourself mentally because you left a footprint right there.
Yeah, exactly.
The footprint was immediately covered in a thin layer of snow. No one would notice, but you know it's there. That's absolutely the worst. Having a high stealth and a high perception, you know all the mistakes you've made.
Exactly. It's too close to use passive perception. Not
artists are their own worst critics. Sox keeps finding himself.
Well, that's... so I guess now we know why he left the party for a while.
Yeah, he didn't need a full gap year for it, though. So he's ahead of the curve.
Yep. Sox has found himself.
Yeah.
All right. And Sox has found lots of people.
Like humans? Humanoids?
Are they alive?
They seem to be.
Do they look like they want to murder people?
They look like they're terrified.
Okay.
They look like they were running or huddling in fear.
Oh, no. I don't like that past tense.
Oh,
Archbeth is suggesting
frozen?
That they're frozen in terror. Archbeth is correct in a very literal sense.
This snow isn't natural. It's dragon-based, isn't it?
I was just about to say
I've been wondering about that.
You guys said it was a red dragon. Right. This is a white dragon.
I'm readying my lyre.
So it goes back to the party.
Marwise readies her truth.
They're all frozen in terror, quite literally.
So, dead?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, they're all frozen statues.
White dragons aren't immune to fire.
It's true.
I know that's where Zeely went first.
Well, it's so Zeely. Yeah.
I do have burning hands. I can set my hands on fire and burn him.
I remember.
Zeely can set
you
everything
on fire.
You
did that last time we met a white dragon, too.
Yeah.
We have some better tricks up our sleeve.
So do I. I've been doing some training.
So I'm going to look up and see if I see a white dragon somewhere.
Give me a perception check.
Oh, that was a 5. And perception's a plus six, I think. Yeah, plus six. I see clouds. Okay.
Yes. That one looks like a sheep. that one looks like a mimic shaped like a house. Oddly specific. That one looks like bacon.
I'm staring at the cloud.
I'm gonna fly up and take a look around.
Okay. So the village itself, all things considered, is mostly intact. From an aerial view, there's a few houses where it looks like they definitely did take some structural damage before the snow started falling, because the snow's landing inside what's left of the houses. But most of the homes are still intact. It's just that the people who were running around are no longer able to be doing so. The town itself seems relatively inconsequential. You don't know exactly why it was here. You were told by Fiddle Punch et al. In the tower that most of the settlements that were found in the area, on the continent in general, seem to be mining operations, but you don't see any sign of a mine nearby. Maybe there's a hill somewhere where there's an entrance to it, but you can't see that from the air.
You said it was a starry night. Where are the clouds thicker? And where's the snow blowing in from?
It's possible the DM got his signals crossed, but never mind about that. the clouds, there's clumps of clouds, and they are moving with the wind. So there are thicker spots, there's thinner spots, but it seems to be a bit random. It's not like Sephiroth is standing underneath one spot with his arm upraised as he creates a giant cloud structure.
Can I make a survival check?
You most certainly can. What do you want to do with it?
I want to figure out how long it's been snowing.
Sure.
And I probably can't tell because that's a 10.
Well, remember I kept saying thin crust of snow? So either it is not quite cold enough for the snow to stick real well. So it's been snowing a lot, but it hasn't really been able to accumulate. Or it only recently started. With a 10, you don't know the difference.
So dragons may be still around. Seely lands again.
Are you going to report that back?
Yeah, but it's...
I'll make my own survival check.
If it was snowing for more than 2 weeks, the better frogs wouldn't have survived.
Yep, that's what I was thinking. The dragon's probably still around here somewhere. Let's get its attention.
So, we find it. Well, it's hard to track anything in this, but we could give it a shot?
I can try, but if it was flying, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Snowpat? Figure out where the snow starts and stops?
I can try that.
I'm not going to require a roll for this, but you understand that if a large enough dragon to change the weather was flying close to the ground, you would know where it had been because there would not be snow there.
Yeah, that's a fair cop. All right, let's look around. Find a place where there was not, where there isn't snow, or where there's less snow.
Can I give her advantage on her survival check by helping?
You can.
Can I do a survival check?
Anyone who wants to do a survival check to look for a white dragon, go ahead.
Okay, I got a 17 on the dice and survival's plus 6.
You find Tiamat.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Not true.
Isn't that the opposite of survival check, though?
That's a good
Does Marwise have inspiration?
Yes, I do, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
You gotta spend these points because, oh my gosh, that is worth a point of inspiration right there. And I see Daldane got a 32 for survival. So
I got a 23, I think.
23 is not bad either. So Gox and Daldane both come to a realization that what you're searching for, if you were looking for an area that was cleared of snow, that would make sense if the dragon was flying about. Dragons don't always fly about. This is not World of Warcraft where their animation just has them flying constantly.
True.
Back and forth, back and forth, the same pathing. Except when someone farming them for dragon non-combat pets comes through and kills everything and skins it all. Never mind about that. So it might be that the dragon has decided to make a lair somewhere nearby. Now, the houses, none of them seem large enough for a dragon. Maybe a very small dragon, but a very small dragon wouldn't be doing much with the environment. You're looking for something bigger, maybe an adult dragon. Most of the towns that were encountered or scouted previously were mining operations. So it's possible this one is two.
There's a mine.
Or yours.
There's a dragon in them, they're mine.
And the foothills seem to be over in that direction. And I'm not bothering to point because it's an audio-based format. But imagine I was pointing in a direction.
Let's head
that way.
Hopefully
we're all imagining the same direction.
Turns out they're all imagining different directions and they split the party.
Oh no.
I rolled a 32. Y'all get back here.
That's an out of context quote.
That's great.
Yeah, you're pretty sure you have an idea based on the topography of how the town's laid out that if it was built here to service a mine, then the mine would probably be in that direction because, oh, look, that's a trail that leads off into the foothills. It's very well traveled. There's a rail track next to it. Go figure.
Golly.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, golly.
Yeah, let's follow that rail track.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. You don't walk very far. Go figure. They're not going to build the town miles away from their main source of income. You don't walk far until you find what you first think is a snowbank. It's just that the rock is covered in snow. And it has the traditional, like, there's this wooden A-frame roof coming out over top of the entrance that's held up by a few wooden supports with the mine track just going right in through. It basically looks like the artwork from a Warcraft 3 mine for the Alliance.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Or Warcraft 2 if you're a traditionalist.
So I'm going to try something.
Okay.
Does the mine entrance look empty?
You don't see anything in the mine entrance.
Okay. Well, I've got dark vision, so.
I am aware of that.
Hmm.
Which is why I didn't say it's dark.
Right.
Yes, it is dark. That's moot. You also don't see anything in the darkness.
Okay, I'm going to float out this.
Sorry?
I'm going to float out this idea. I can cast light on a rock, and someone, preferably not wimpy me, can throw it in there, and we can see how far we can see.
I'll do that.
All right, if no one objects, I'm going to go ahead and find a small rock or something to cast light on and pass it over to Gox.
All right, I'm going to throw it.
The rocks are mostly frozen to the ground here, but there's also a thin layer of snow that you can very easily make into a snowball.
Okay.
I'll give that a shot then, I guess.
Okay, you have a glowing snowball.
Ooh,
snowball of light!
All right, I'm going to throw it into the entrance.
All right. Gox winds up. Here's the pitch. Give me an improvised weapon attack. Basically, add your dex.
Oh, I've rolled a 5, and dexterity is +2.
Okay, congratulations. You have hit the side of the mine entrance.
Oops.
The snowball flies through the air, hits the side of the mine entrance with a lot of force. And it, for a moment, it looks like there's a glitter bomb that's gone off. And the light spell dissipates.
I should have hit it out there with my battle axe instead.
It would have gone poof on the axe, but I am here for that content.
Light is also a cantrip. I can cast that as many times as I want.
Oh, yeah.
Want to try again?
Sure, one more time.
All right. Let's see what I do this time. This time I have an 18 on the dice and dexterity.
All right. So you toss that snowball and it still goes poof as soon as it hits a hard surface. But you see the light arc through the entrance where it goes back a good 15, 20 feet. And you can tell that it's going to go around a turn at that point. But the entrance other than that is clear.
Well, let's go in.
Okay.
Before we go in, I want to try something. I would like to go far enough into the mine so that I'm not going to knock down the A-frame. How wide is the mine?
The entrance appears to be like maybe 10 feet wide.
Okay. I'm going to make sure everyone stays back.
Stay back. We're going to try Bardic Inspiration.
Yes. I am going to go far enough into the mine that I am out of reach of the A-frame and cast Thunderwave.
Oh, okay. No.
With the idea that perhaps the wave of force will go down, propagate down into the mine.
Roll the damage for Thunderwave.
Oh, wow.
How bad a Thunderwave is this? Is this
just first level.
Is this an erp, excuse me, or is this bringing down the house?
Closer to the latter than the former, I guess.
All things considered, that your maximum amount of damage would have been 16. You got a 12. That's over half.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she didn't turn it up to, well, 16. Can't really make the turn it up to 11 joke when...
When that's the
floor. It's over 11.
Yeah.
So this Thunder Wave, I will say that it's somewhat directed because you did cast it in a relatively enclosed location. And unlike two kobolds in the party, you were not provided with a free set of earplugs.
True.
So give me a constitution save. I'm going to say that with a 9, you're going to take half damage. So you take 6 points of thunder damage. Just because it echoes. It hits the turn and bounces back at you.
I wondered if that might happen.
Well, wonder no more, for I have provided a life lesson. And as soon as you do that, there is a rumbling and a shifting. Okay. And you become suddenly conscious of how much rock there is above you.
Not too much, I hope. I didn't go that far into the mine.
No, not that far in, but you are a kobold.
True.
By the way, everyone who's still outside at a safe distance, imagine, if you will, the word safe is in air quotes. Because you also feel the rumbling. Immediately after Daldane did the kobold equivalent of saying, hey, watch this.
Daldane might need help getting out, and I have Dimension Door. I'm gonna go.
Oh, I have Dimension Door, too.
Oh, you do? I keep forgetting that.
All right. Someone roll me a d20.
3.
5.
Okay. That was the save for the entrance.
Oh.
One of the wooden support columns falls over, and the whole thing starts shifting to the side and collapsing on itself.
Oh, no.
Daldane, duty out here.
All right. Yeah, I'll duck back out as quickly as I can.
I'm going to rule that you duck out in the nick of time because I'm not doing too many more rolls. We're past the 2-hour mark. It's almost 11 here. It's even later in Scotland. So, yeah. So you poof appear out in the safe area as the mine starts to sort of collapse in on itself and the ground around you starts to rise up.
Hmm.
Why is that rising up?
Dragon?
I thought it was falling down. Oh.
Is there a dragon?
I think I got its attention.
Very long neck seems to be wrapping. Like, it's creating a perimeter around you.
Oh, hello. Nice of you to join us.
And a very large, white-scaled face is looking down at you. And it says, you're not much of a snack, are you?
I'm not a snack at all. Firebolt.
And that's where we're going to end it.
All right.
You stole my thunder.
I think mine stole your thunder.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for playing.
I was really hoping to get the last action in this session.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Nope. I can't end it on a better note than Firebolt, though. That was glorious.
I can end it on a better note than Firebolt. But
plugs? Because, yep, we two of us definitely need to go to bed. It's a school night for me, and I got back to school night tomorrow, so I'm going to have a long night no matter what.
I'm sorry.
It's quite all right, and I appear to have put a typo in the plugs for this evening, but never mind about that. So, Chris has a podcast, AzerothCTC.com. They have switched to biweekly or fortnightly if you want to sound fancy. Ellie has a social network, elic.xyz. If you're not sent an invite by someone who's already a member. Your process needs to be approved, but a lot of people get approved, and it's an awesome social network. You should join it. EO's Mom Writes Books. You can get those at elizabeth-mccoy.com. Jen has a blog and podcast at bookofjen.net, and we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. You can be one of the many awesome patrons who makes an effort to have me break even, because I refuse to break even. I'm going to keep spending more money as I get more money in, because it's a hobby. Bottomless pit. You know how it is. So we've got a bunch of awesome patrons right now. We've got Alice, we've got Chris, we've got Cindy, we've got Ellie, we've got Eric. If those names sound familiar, then you've been paying attention, because I told all the players that they weren't supposed to be donating, but they said, "You're not my real dad," and then they donated.
I actually think I did say that to you.
Yes. Yes, I'm not making that up. You actually did say that. All right.
I did as well.
So, until next time, this is Crash saying, we made frogs better.
Bye.
Bye.